Christian, greetings again this morning. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. If you want to turn with me for a devotional opening meditation, turn to Psalm chapter 16. This has one phrase that really stood out to me in the last verse. Thou wilt show me the path of life. You know, I believe that's each one of our desire here this morning, is to be shown the path of life, to be on that path to life that leads to life everlasting. Just read this chapter. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is a portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This psalm is quoted twice in the New Testament. If you notice, the title there refers to it as the Mitchum of David. And there are six psalms that have this title. And it's a rather obscure title, but some scholars believe that it's traced back to the root meaning of the word, to gold, which may be saying this is a precious, just saying that this is a precious psalm. But we find this passage referred to and quoted in Acts, in Acts chapter 2. He says, for David speaketh concerning him, Acts 2 verse 25, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now there's a beautiful song that runs through this psalm. It begins with the fleeing to God for refuge, and ends with standing at God's right hand in glory at last. It's a psalm of celebration of the joy of the fellowship that David realized that comes from faith in the Lord. You know, whether it was written when he faced great danger or opposition, whatever it was, David was convinced that because he had come to know and trust the Lord as his portion in life, he could trust him in the face of death. There's a Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For in thee do I put my trust, he says. He says, you are all I need. And based on that commitment, he goes on to praise the Lord and to tell what he's done for him. You know, he delighted in fellowshipping with the godly, the saints. He couldn't endorse those that ran after other gods. Verse 5 and 6, the Lord is a portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Now the Lord was all that he needed to satisfy his heart and life. Besides, his portion is cup. The Lord had assigned him a delightful inheritance. The boundary lines, you know, they says have fallen to him in pleasant places. Speaking of portions of land measured by line and distributed by lot. In other words, he compared God's blessings to the best inheritance a person could receive. He praises the Lord for counseling him. He says, even during the night, seasons. Verse 8 and 9, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. You know, death posed no threat to David because he enjoyed these great blessings and fellowship with the Lord. God would not permit death in the grave to interrupt that marvelous fellowship. You know, so in a fuller sense for the believer today, it's true. We have the wonderful story of the resurrection. We have a Savior that died so that we might live, so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We can say, even when facing death, God will not let death destroy that full fellowship with him. And the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:23, he says, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That will show me the path of life. I believe that verse is a wonderful message for the believer today. A personal pronoun in it that we can each claim for ourselves. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Now, sometimes we wonder if God really feels our pain. Does he really know what I'm going through? Does he know the decisions that we're facing? Does he hear my prayer? This verse, the psalmist says, thou wilt show me. You know, we heard in the devotional this morning about the greatness of God. As we see who God is, what he is, the creation, everything that's involved there. You know, as time goes on, man is discovering more and more, but there's always more in space. You know, the further advanced their ability becomes to see out into space, the more that's out there. They don't come to an end, and I don't believe they will ever come to an end. But God says he knows every star by name. And can you imagine that? Every star out there he knows by name. He sees every sparrow that falls. You know, he does care about every pain, every struggle you and I go through. He knows and he cares. The Lord is my shepherd. Again, a personal pronoun there. I shall not want. It's important to follow the shepherd, praying for direction, to seek his direction, to find that path that he wants to show us. You know, God speaks to us through his word. It's important to be open to what he is telling us. I appreciate the thought somebody shared this morning in Sunday school. You know, if what he's showing us is contradicting what he says in his word, then it's not his path. He has other ways to give us guidance through parents, teachers, church, and so on. We need to be sure our directions are coming from those that are following his direction and will give Bible-based counsel. There's a story about two men that decided to climb one of the Alps in Switzerland. One was a military official from Zurich, and these men were staying at a hotel looking out at these Alps, and they took off in the morning to climb one without guide, without ropes and harness, and the kind of things they needed to climb they should have had to take it on an adventure like this. And it caused enough of a stir that there was a lot of people that were watching from the hotel through binoculars. They watched these men start out, and they could see them climbing this Alp. You know, they didn't ask, or if they did ask, they didn't take advice. I'm sure they were given advice. And they didn't follow the normal route that people took when they climbed this Alp. And it wasn't long before they were seen on up there crossing the ice. And it wasn't long before one disappeared, and then the other one disappeared. And there was a search party that was sent out looking for them. They found the first man that had fallen to his death in a crevice hundreds of feet deep. The second one also had a fall, had a severe fall, but he was fortunate to have landed on snow, and they were able to rescue him. You know, we say, what? How foolish to try something like that without a guide. You know, it's far more dangerous for us to go through life without a guide, without being sure that we are on the path. You know, many people do. If we want to find the way, we need to be aware of the need of guidance. We must walk obediently in the path that the guide marks out for us. We must accept his guidance and trust it. You know, sometimes we get impatient. We think that we know better. You know, discontent of the place that he has called us to. Discontent with the things that he is calling us to. You know, the path he calls us to may not be an easy one. It may take us through pain, and I believe we can say that life will have pain to a lesser or greater degree because we're in this life, in the flesh. But if we follow his path, it will not be the pain that the unbeliever faces. That it won't be the pain that sin brings. We cannot do wrong and escape the fruit of it. And we reap what we sow. But the rewards of following the path of life will be so glorious that in its joy we'll forget all the briars and the thorns that were along this way. And we may find ourselves feeling like the disciples in the stormy sea there in Galilee, desperately trying to keep our boat afloat. Finally, in desperation, waking Jesus and asking if he doesn't care that we perish. But you know, if Jesus is on our boat, if he is our guide, you know, that boat, I don't believe that boat was going to go down because Jesus was on there. And he may choose to calm the seas. He may also choose to just be with us, to go with us through the sea, the rough seas. But if he is our guide, we can rest in him, knowing that he will see us through. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In his presence is fullness of joy. If we ask in him in sincerity to show us the path of life, I believe we can have the confidence that he will, contingent on us being willing to walk and to follow in his footsteps. Let's kneel for prayer.